Leaders of citizen groups, a water scientist, an impacted mother, they all met for a phone-based news conference to look back on the water crisis of 2014 and outline the progress, pitfalls, and next steps in their work to ensure safe drinking water for all West Virginians.
Leaks from Freedom Industries tank farm along the Elk River, a mile and a half upstream from West Virginia American Water Company's intake.
The call started with a recap of events from Executive Director of the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition, Janet Keating.
An influx of people with rashes, nausea, and other complaints after exposure to tainted water.
Keating and others went on to outline the state legislation that came out of the event, Senate Bill 373. They also spoke about Freedom Industries' bankruptcy and subsequent indictments. They talked about industrial accountability in general. But Executive Director of the West Virginia Rivers Coalition, Angie Rosser, pointed out there is plenty of blame to go around.
I don't think it's any one person. It's the whole system and the whole the politics in West Virginia that have for decades set us up, for, in my opinion, set us up for this kind of catastrophe.
Rosser also posed a question.
Will citizens stay involved? This legislation and this progress that we saw over the last year would not have happened without citizen involvement.
According to a survey conducted over the summer by social justice organization West Virginia Free, 80% of voters said they're concerned about toxins in public water sources. Many West Virginians are now embracing a cultural standard of living off of plastic bottled water. Bottled water, which, I might add, is not regulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act. The lack of public confidence is understandable, according to aquatic biologist Ben Stout from Wheeling Jesuit University, who pointed out some of the concerns he was left with after the spill.
If it hadn't been for the smell, our human ability to detect small quantities of 4 MCHM, we would have never known that this whole community had been exposed to a potentially toxic material.
It's a troubling realization, Rosser from the Rivers Coalition said, especially in light of findings of recently implemented above-ground storage tank inspections.
The first round of inspections were completed by January 1, just a few days ago. And what was revealed this week to the public is that of those inspections that had been submitted, 1,100 of those did not pass inspection. They're deemed not fit for service. So that shows us that there are still tanks out there that may be leaking today. So we're still concerned about the safety of our water.
The discussion also encompassed lessons learned in the light of the spill. Ben Stout talked about the need to call on the abundant scientific resources in the region when it comes to responding to crises. And Rosser said she saw progress from state officials who, for the first time, started to consult with citizen action groups in the wake of the crisis. Rosser said looking forward, legislative hurdles like funding source water protection plans and safeguarding other protective water laws and regulations would be something she would be watching carefully, along with, she hopes, other citizens of the state. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.